This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Walk through a shop, check in for a flight, or even open your phone. Chances are your face is being scanned. Facial recognition technology, it's being sold as fast, secure, and convenient. But with big retailers caught using it without consent and schools starting to trial it on students, many are asking, where's the line between safety and surveillance? Well, joining us is Dr. Joanne Orlando, a researcher in digital wellbeing at Western Sydney University. Joanne, welcome.
Hello.
We're seeing facial recognition popping up everywhere, in shops, airports, classrooms. How did it become so common so quickly?
Yeah, look, that just happens with technology, doesn't it? It seems all of a sudden they've got the technology and then it comes out in full force. And before we know it, we're using it all the time. Like it happened with QR codes, with COVID, a few other things. And now this, 6 months ago, we weren't using it half as much as we are now.
Now, I mean, a lot of people love it. I've got to admit, I use it on my phone. I like it. No passwords, no passes. But what's the hidden cost behind that convenience?
That's right. It seems so convenient, doesn't it? And it's sold to us for that reason. You know, one of the new things that's brought in recently is it's in airports. You know, you don't have to worry about trying to get your boarding pass out. Just face, you know, scan your face and you'll be able to just get on your flight and go. So that's kind of the message. But one of the things that we don't realise about our face is that it's actually sensitive biometric data. So we've got three types of really sensitive data: our fingerprints, which we know about, our DNA, and our face. So our face is protected by particular kinds of special laws because, you know, it lasts a lifetime. It's very hard if someone hacks that kind of data about you. You can't take it back because of its long-lasting impact on you. But here we've got our face being scanned, you know, to buy things, to get into the gym, to get on the plane. So we would never give over our DNA, you know, as a quick way of getting into the gym. But we do it with our face because the technology is there. It's really been kind of developed and pushed out and it's so easy. So we don't have that with our other sensitive data, but we seem to be having it with our face scans now.
Would we be better limiting the number of applications that use our face, or the number of, I suppose, retailers or gyms, et cetera, that use our face to perhaps something like just our phone? Would that minimise the risk a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. You know, one of the big risks about it is, you know, it's our biometric data, but the other really big risk at this point is that it's just not a perfected technology. You know, it really gets it wrong. So the government's been doing a lot of trials with facial recognition because it'll be coming in with the social media ban, you know, as a way of IDing people. And what they're finding lately, this is with the latest technology, is that it actually has a bias. It is more inaccurate with women and with people with darker skin. So that's a big issue in itself, isn't it? You know, so it might think that it might recognise your face and associate it with some kind of negative activity, like a criminal activity or something like that. And the issue is, even though it makes an error, that error is still sitting with you for the rest of your life because of the sensitivity of your face and it having that kind of lifelong implication of you. So it can make mistakes, but those mistakes are likely to be there forever, associated with your face. And with all the cross-referencing of facial scans, that could have a really big negative impact on someone.
When retailers, big retailers, we're talking about ones like Kmart, Bunnings, are caught scanning customers without consent, I mean, it sparks outrage. What was it about these cases that made people feel so violated?
Yeah, well, if you think about it the other way, if you're collecting someone's DNA about them, you know, you can't just take that off someone or you know, get their fingerprints without it having a really good cause. So these retailers were saying that they're using facial recognition as a way of trying to reduce shoplifting and theft in the store. Okay, so I understand the reasoning, but the facial recognition people did not realise it was actually being done on them. So there was no consent to that kind of sensitive data being taken from them. So that was the big issue, the lack of consent and highly sensitive data.
I love the way that you, you've compared it to our DNA, because you're exactly right. It is like our DNA. And I would say no. If Kmart said to me, Warren, before you walk in, I need to take a sample of your DNA, I'd be like, well, no, I'm walking out. I'll go to your opposition. There's no way I would hand it over. So why is it that, is it just a lack of awareness about how important our face is?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't actually realise. Like we do know, we've got our face, you know, it's a unique identifier and we do know that about us, but we actually kind of, I think we just think the technology comes in, it's really easy to use. You know, it only takes a couple of seconds and you're in. You don't have to worry about your password or two-factor authentication or anything, you know, it's so easy to do, but don't realise the implications. So face scans, you know, just like any other data, they be stored on someone's server or multiple servers, just like any other data. And of course, like any other data, can be hacked as well. So that's where the issue is. If someone hacks the data, then they've got, you know, they can use your face in lots of ways. And if face scans is becoming the way to get into your bank account, get into your workplace, you know, if that's what's being relied on as the identifier for you, and someone has hacked or stolen that data about you, you can see the kind of havoc that they can cause in your life and how many issues it can have, and lifelong issues. You know, you can change your password and things, but you can't change your face.
We're chatting with Dr. Joanne Orlando from Western Sydney University about facial recognition, the convenience, the risks, and why your face might be more valuable than we think. A text just came in from Rob in St Kilda saying it's great for safety but not for shopping. And also this one from Ella saying, my son's school wants to use it for attendance. I was quite shocked, I've got to admit, Joanne, when I realised that schools could potentially use it as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk in schools about using it for that kind of reason. You know, it's easy, you know, just the reasons that we've been given. But, you know, the kind of the overuse of it. I know schools overseas have been using it so kids don't have to, you know, pay at the tuck shop. They can just use their face, use their attendance, use their, you know, examination, sitting for exams. So it's being used in lots of ways, but a lot of them are being called up once again because highly sensitive data doesn't need to be used for those kinds of purposes. You don't need a face scan, you know, to pay at the tuck shop.
No.
It might be convenient. They mightn't have to carry around any kind of credit card or anything like that, but the risk is too high. So I think we've got the convenience there, we've got the technology there, even though it's a bit flawed. But the risk is too high. So a lot of people don't realise that risk that's out there for them.
Joanne, if we've got a phone and we're using facial recognition to access the phone as such, and then you might allow it for other apps within the phone to use that facial recognition to access the apps rather than put in a password, is that still using, I suppose, I don't know what the right word is, but the operating system of the phone and the face stored there, or does your face get stored to the on the server of the owner of that app as well?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know with the banking apps that you use on your phone, and we use the facial recognition, often that facial recognition is initiated when you get the phone right in the setup.
Mm.
You're setting up facial recognition and then you apply that phone feature to the app. So it's a bit safer with your phone because it's kept on your phone, but it's using it, you know, at the gym and things like that. You have no control over that kind of data. It's nowhere near, you know, your phone, and who knows what happens to it once your face has been scanned. So it's out and about. Those are the scans that we need to kind of consider a little bit more. Is it worth it or not?
Is there any oversight? Who's making sure that these databases and servers are secure, or that they've, you know, deleted the information when they should have?
Well, as far as I know, no one.
Oh.
We don't know. Like, you know, once again, with technology, the technology kind of forges ahead, you know, really fast and powerfully, but the laws and the legislation seem to lag behind. So at this point, you know, it's all of a sudden face scans are just becoming popular and they're becoming everywhere, but the legislation still hasn't caught up. In the case with Bunnings and Kmart, you know, that happened a little while ago, and it was about, you know, not having consent. But facial scans have really come on so much. And now, you know, it'll be like TikTok and things that'll be taking scans of us so we can use social media. So the legislation surely has to be kind of developed a little bit more before that comes in, and that's coming in December. So that'll be affecting all of us.
Joan, for anyone who perhaps is uncomfortable with being scanned, what practical steps can we take to protect our privacy in a world that I suppose increasingly expects our face to be our ID?
Yeah, I agree. So sometimes it's really hard to avoid a face scan. So not scam, scan. So I think it could be, you know, I think you just have to think, well, what is this scan being taken for and who is doing it? So if it's like a government agency, I would tend to trust them more. If it's getting into your gym, going on to a flight, these are commercial organisations. And yeah, it might take a couple of seconds to find your boarding pass or to get it on your phone, but it's definitely a safer option at this point until the technology is more perfected and protected. So I think it's just kind of making decisions. Do I need Bunnings, you know, to take my face scan in order to pay or something like that? Probably not. Maybe it's a tax office, then maybe that's a different kind of situation. So really weighing out the risk and only using it when you think it's kind of a more secure context.
Sally and Carlton sums it up really well. Convenient now, nightmare later. What do you reckon?
Yes, I agree with them, absolutely.
Joanne, I'm glad we had this conversation. Very important. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Joanne Orlando from Western Sydney University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.